Hello, and welcome to the fifth episode of season two of the LGC News Roundup podcast. My name's Martin George. I'm the deputy editor of LGC. I'm joined by Kwame Boakye, our reporter. Hi, Kwame.
Good morning.
And Kirsty Weekly, our head of content. Kirsty, hi.
Hi, Martin.
So it may be the long summer holiday starting for all those people with kids or people who have parliamentary sessions or council meetings, but LGC never rests. We've had another busy week and a lot more news to wrap up. We're going to talk today about a big speech from Michael Gove, primarily about housing. We're going to talk about pay in the local government sector and find out exactly what's going on with chief executives and how much they're getting paid. And then we'll sweep up all the trash from Take Out the Trash Day, which we'll explain in due course. Now, Kirsty, I know you listened to Levelling Up Secretary Michael Gove when he made his big speech on housing a bit earlier this week. What were the top lines from it?
Yes, so it's a nice busy start to Monday morning. Levelling Up Secretary Michael Gove sort of set out the Conservative government's big plan for addressing the housing crisis. I'm sure most of our listeners will be aware that there just aren't enough houses. Mr. Gove's plan is all about urban densification. He mentioned that quite a lot through the speech, which basically involves building more in cities and converting shops and other things to housing stock. Mr. Gove's sort of argument for this is that you know the more people living in cities, the more economically prosperous they'll be, that by comparison UK cities aren't as dense as other cities, but by doing this you can also avoid having to build on the greenbelt.
Now, of course, we've seen that issue of the greenbelt, that's a big dividing line, isn't it, emerging between nationally the Conservatives and Labour. The fact that housing is absolutely at the forefront of the political debate in this country at the moment, great news. We're finally going to get a solution to this, surely.
Well, hopefully, maybe. As part of Mr. Gove's announcement, there was £24 million specifically in investment in planning skills, which obviously sounds like great news, but we're hearing from the Royal Town Planning Institute just this morning that their estimate is that actually you need about £100 million investment to really address the sort of skills and the backlog issues in signing it off and making sure that where you want to build things, you can actually get them built.
Yeah, absolutely. This investment in planning skills, this goes right to the core of something that our colleague Megan highlighted. She did her big investigation probably a couple of months ago now, which really uncovered a major reason we're not getting housing built in this country and it's being delayed is lots of planning departments just don't have enough staff. And it's something that hadn't really been top of the agenda, but now it really is. Yeah, we're seeing some action on that.
Yeah, exactly. Like Megan's research uncovered that just 1 in 10 council planning departments were fully staffed last year, which is really quite low, and shows how widespread the issue is. This isn't pockets where things are bad. There are obviously places where things are worse, but actually it's an issue right across the country. I think one of the announcements on Monday was about setting up this new super squad of planners who can go around the country to help address backlogs in different places. But it might take them a while to get around the whole country. And we're not quite sure where this super squad is going to come from, as we mentioned the skills issue.
Well, that's it. It'd be ironic if the place the government goes to get this sort of hit squad from is taking them from other planning departments at councils to then go to other ones. And is it robbing Peter to pay Paul? Or we're talking about consultants coming in? Or we're talking about trying to bring planners who've retired back into the system? I don't think Michael Gove's speech or information we've had really goes into that detail yet. We don't really know what's going on, do we?
No, there's definitely lots of questions that have come out of his speech that we are obviously trying to get as many answers to as possible. Sometimes the truth of it is that when we go, there's lots of questions here and we're trying to get to the bottom of it. The government hasn't quite actually got the answers yet. And that's why we can't bring them to you, but we are doing our best. And that one of the first places that they did say that they intend to send this planning super squad in. I do quite think they're going to have like capes and superhero outfits.
I hope so.
We should
Google how much they cost, or FOI how much they cost if they do that.
Yep, definitely. One of the first places they'll be going is Cambridge, which was another big section of Mr. Gove's speech, where he was saying that, you know, Cambridge is one of these places where they think there's potential to really grow the city, and to really, really push up that the sort of science element of the city, which we know has got a long history there. And he's appointed Peter Freeman as the chair of a group that will craft this vision. But there's already opposition. Even during the speech, from a Conservative MP for the area, Anthony Brown, who was tweeting about the water issues in Cambridge, and he's not alone. Nick Johnson, the Labour mayor of Cambridge here in Peterborough, also raised concerns about water scarcity, as have a few other people in the area. So it's, lots of big announcements, but whether they'll come through is yet to be.
Yeah, and I think another thing I picked up from the mayor's comments was he's welcoming the attention that's being paid to a big issue in his area, but I think he's really keen that he and the combined authority are involved, and that there has to be local involvement in getting things right for the local area. So it can't be top down from the Department of Levelling Up. It's got to be working with the community on the specific issues, like you say, the water shortages. So that there's a bit of concern in the sector, I think, about where some of this might go.
I think it's definitely one for us and for people to be watching closely, because Cambridge is replicated elsewhere. If this is how the government's model for sorting out the housing crisis is expected to be played out, then that's and I think the other sort of thing to draw out from the sort of final thing to draw out from Michael Gove's speech was that it was very political. This wasn't just a sort of policy pragmatic approach. There were huge sections of his speech dedicated to criticising Labour's plans, to really focusing on issues as the government sees it from within London, where there's been a Labour mayor, Sadiq Khan, for several years, and looking at his and criticising his housing record in particular. So I think this does tell us something about sort of political priorities as we look at a general election coming forward.
Yeah, I think we'll see a lot more of this style of speech over the next, I mean, it could be 18 months or more even. So the joy of that. Another issue of great joy to people is how much money they get paid, and whether they get a decent pay rise or not, especially in the current financial circumstances. So Kwame, what's the latest on council chief executives and their pay negotiations?
Okay, so earlier today I spoke to Ian Miller, the Honorary Secretary of the Association of Local Authority of Chief Executives. He informed me that what they're looking for is a pay increase in line with the 3.88% that council staff were offered for 2023-2024, which because they were offered 3.5% earlier in the year, which they rejected.
And it sounds as if, so chief execs want sort of the same pay rise as the most senior staff they manage. It sounds like they're probably going to climb down from that, doesn't it, though? It sounds like they've accepted we're probably not going to get exactly the same pay increase as the staff immediately below us. We're probably just going to have to accept that in the end. Is that kind of the territory we're in now?
Yeah, so Mr. Miller confirmed to me that if the National Joint Committee's offer remains unchanged, then they will reluctantly accept a 3.5% increase on the basis that there's nothing further that they can do through negotiation.
Yeah. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because clearly the chief execs, I mean, I know last year they're annoyed they didn't get a bigger pay rise. They're annoyed this year they haven't got a bigger pay rise, and they've kind of accepted it's a fait accompli unless anything significant changes. I mean, if push comes to shove and they really do reject this, I mean, what's next? Are we talking about chief executives going on strike? Are we talking about some kind of, you know, formal arbitration? You know, if they really put their foot down next time round, where would we be?
Well, yeah, they are considering if there is no improvement to the offer, seeking binding arbitration. But speaking to Mr. Miller earlier, he said that since he's been in the sector, it's not something that he's seen or experienced. So that would be incredibly rare if something like that were to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I just love the idea of chief executives going on strike. You'd have just a single person in each council with a one man, one woman picket line, just them with a little placard. I don't think it's going to happen. But Kirsty, I mean, this does matter, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah.
Wider picture. I mean, people who think, oh, it's just a chief executive, I don't care what they get paid. We probably should care.
Yes, I think the issue is that, you know, if you know, attracting the right talented people to do what is an incredibly big, high pressure job, being a chief executive of a council. It's overseeing everything that the council does. You've got statutory responsibilities, and as things get ever more complex, the role becomes ever more complex. So it's not an easy job. I don't think anyone would say it is an easy job. But if the gap between what chief executives are earning and what those directly beneath them in local authorities are earning is shrinking, the sort of the incentive to really go for that top job isn't always there. There's also the issue around what other people in the public sector are being paid. So if you can earn more for being a chief exec at a health body or some sort of comparable job, which is, I think, a lot of Alice's argument over the last few years has been, is that the gap between council chief exec pay and senior pay elsewhere is widening, which makes the sector less attractive. And we'll have, you know, and as that, you know, the longer this goes on, the harder it will become to get the right people in post.
Yeah, so it's that whole issue of workforce, getting the right people, and getting that sort of pipeline of people coming through who'll replace, yeah, you know, chief execs who are, yeah, retiring quite frequently these days, yeah, you know, after they've served their overtime during the pandemic, I think. Now, the other thing, last week was the last day the House of Commons was sitting. I know the House of Lords worked a little bit harder and they finished this week. But I think Thursdays are the traditional take out the trash day, named after a famous West Wing episode where the government basically tries to swamp the media by releasing all the possible bad news all in one go, so none of it really gets covered or noticed. We don't really fall for that trick, do we, at LGC? We sort of scrutinise what trash is being taken out. So, Kirsty, you've had the litter picker out. You've been scrutinising all this rubbish. What have we found out?
So I think the sort of the first thing to mention is that the intervention at Croydon was confirmed, formally appointing commissioners to have oversight of Croydon's finance and governance. I think everyone was expecting this. The council didn't raise any major objections to the government's plan, and Tony McArdle and a few others are now formally been appointed as commissioners. But yeah, so that's the first major thing that should be on the government's radar.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was the annual report from the Infrastructure and Projects Authority, is that right?
Yes, the Infrastructure Projects Authority, which sounds quite dull, but it's not. It's a good annual report that looks across government at big projects that each government department will be doing, and how much progress they've made and whether there are any sort of major concerns.
Presumably everything's going swimmingly at Tom, oh, levelling up. Yeah, no problems, no red flags.
Sadly, no.
Ah, okay.
At the Department for Levelling Up, there are 11 main projects that fall within this report scope. Two of them have got a red flag, which means the government thinks it's unlikely that, or the Infrastructure Projects Authority thinks it's unlikely that the department will be able to deliver without significantly changing them. And the remaining nine have got amber warnings, which means they can still happen, but serious thought needs to be given to how this works.
Yeah. And one of the red flags, yeah, it wasn't for a insignificant bit of work as far as the government's concerned, is it?
No, it was for the Housing Infrastructure Fund, which is a few years old now, but it was a 4.2 billion programme to build the infrastructure needed to construct up to 300,000 homes, which is quite interesting timing given what we were talking about earlier in the podcast about the need to build more housing. Yeah. And actually this thing about actually having the road and public transport system in place around the housing is important. We know that one agreement has definitely fallen apart. Medway spoke about their disappointment at having their funding pulled, which means they can't go ahead with projects that they plan to. And the big reason for this is inflation over the past 12 months. You know, actually building things has become a lot more expensive right across the board, and these big projects are really suffering from that point of view.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we've got more details on our website of the other, you know, red and amber flags raised by the authority. The other thing I wanted to just hone in on is, I think, was it DLUHC published its annual accounts, didn't it?
Yeah, and nice long document.
What caught your eye there?
The ministerial severance pays, because if it's not too traumatic to remind people, we've had three different secretaries of state for the Levelling Up department this year, or four. It depends whether you count Michael Gove once or twice, but Michael Gove started the year in post. He was sacked by Boris Johnson at the point where there was quite a lot of ministerial churn, and people were trying to make some points. We then had Greg Clark come in, sort of do a summer job.
Yep.
And then he left, and Simon Clark was very briefly Levelling Up secretary under Liz Truss before that all fell apart, and Michael Gove was back in place.
And they get severance pay when they leave office like that.
Yes, they do.
I think the thing that really struck me is, so I think Gove, Clark and Clark all got severance pay. I think for the two Mr. Clarks, they actually got paid more money to not be Levelling Up secretary than to actually be Levelling Up secretary.
Yes.
Which shows how short their tenure was. And people will think, was that a good way of spending money or not? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a weird quirk of the system, where if you're under 65, you're entitled to a quarter of your annual salary when you leave government.
Even if you've served less than a quarter of a year.
Yep.
Hence, people who've served for, you know, weeks or a couple of months or whatever, actually got more severance pay than salary for their time doing that job.
Yep. It's
funny old world.
One of those weird quirks.
Thanks, Kwame. Thanks, Kirsty. We'll be back next week. In the meantime, do keep a look at our website, lgcplus.com, and look at our Twitter or X account, or whatever it is these days, @LGCplus, and look on Threads if you know what Threads is. See you next week.